The days of lugging heavy textbooks across college campuses may be coming to an end. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, in for Anu Anand. Good morning. First to Brussels, where the woman hoping to be the next leader of the European Commission is making her final pitch to skeptical parliamentarians. The BBC's Suping Chan has more.
Ursula von der Leyen faced a tough crowd at the European Parliament today, with many angry that the candidates they put forward for consideration were rejected by EU leaders. Germany's defence minister, who didn't even know she was in the running for the EU's top job until halfway through a 50-hour Brussels summit this month, needs Parliament's backing to move forward. So today she laid out a plan of compromise, including ambitious policies to make the EU carbon neutral by 2050.
I will put forward a Green Deal for Europe in my first 100 days in office.
That's not the only carrot on offer. To try to win left-wing and liberal votes, she's promised to push for a minimum wage and more protections for refugees. But those policies may cost her votes among Eurosceptic and right-wing parties. Her support for a further Brexit extension beyond the October deadline also received a mixed reception.
I stand ready for further extension of the withdrawal date should more time be required for a good reason.
The secret ballot will take place later today. If Ms. von der Leyen is rejected, the EU will face a new period of deep political uncertainty. I'm the BBC's Suping Chan for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Indian airline shares are on the rise after Pakistan reopened airspace to civilian flights. The nearly five-month closure, which forced airlines to reroute planes, is said to have cost airlines tens of millions of dollars. My parents used to endlessly complain about the toll heavy textbooks were taking on my back when I carried them in my backpack. Well, back-to-school season is just on the horizon, and English book publisher Pearson has a potential back-saving announcement. It will print only about 100 new editions of its 1,500 college-level books in the U.S. Company boss John Fallon says the business is at a tipping point, with half its revenues coming from digital sales.
It's time now to flick the switch in how we primarily make and create our products. So the three-year revision cycle of new physical textbooks, which have dominated the industry for 40 years, is dead for us. Everything will now be revised and edited in a digital-first way. That means new scientific breakthrough in biology, new case study in business, new development in world history or contemporary politics. We're not waiting 3 years for the next physical edition. We can edit it and create a new content and courses and assessment for the next semester.
But with more content online, will the risk of digital theft increase?
You know, we have something like already have over 10 million digital registrations per year. Each of those students has a direct relationship with Pearson. They are submitting their homework online. Our machines are marking that homework and providing feedback to them. So think of this as much more as when Adobe went from selling a license to selling a subscription and a service. It actually enhances the engagement and the direct relationship with Pearson. It actually makes things like piracy and counterfeit more difficult.
That's Pearson boss John Fallon there. China is the world's biggest official creditor, but new research shows that half of its lending to developing countries is hidden. Christopher Trebesh is a professor of macroeconomics at Kiel Institute for the World Economy. He's also the co-author of a working paper called China's Overseas Lending.
We were interested in understanding the financial footprint of China, and we realized, however, that it's very difficult to study due to lack of data. So we sat down and gathered all available sources over 2 years and tried to trace those lending activities to developing countries as carefully as we could. And we realized just how little others know about this lending as well.
So why is it hidden? And how does China do it?
Say you lend to a country like Zambia, and then Zambia will report its debt stocks to the World Bank. But given the specific way in which China lends, which is often by Chinese public corporations to a corporation in developing countries, those kind of debts are often not reported and picked up by these official statistics.
You say 50 biggest recipients have debt with China worth 17% of their GDP on average. What are the biggest flashpoints? And could we see things turn south there?
Parts of these debts simply are not known to the wider public, to financial market participants, to rating agencies, so that risk assessments cannot be done properly and there might be overlending. We also, in the paper, draw parallels to China's lending boom and the lending boom of the 1970s. Those lending flows in the 70s went to resource-rich, poor countries that were booming at the time, just like they were booming in the 2000s and 2010s. And many of these flows were opaque, lending occurred at commercial rates, and we're often backed by these resources. We know, however, that the 1970s boom ended in tears. Many of these countries went into default, and it took them 10, 20, or even 30 years to resolve these debt overhang problems.
What countries are more vulnerable than others?
The thing is that, you know, I know exactly where the hidden parts are, but we can't release this because the data actually was given to us on a confidential basis.
So ones like Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Iran, the countries that are already seeing crises, are those the kind of countries that we should be thinking about?
Yes. We found that with regard to the Bank of International Settlement, reporting to vulnerable countries is particularly incomplete. So Venezuela, Zimbabwe, we see large reporting gaps.
Christoph Trebesch there. Finally, what more appropriate way to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing than with the latest news from NASA that it's going to grow chili peppers in space? The agency is looking for ways to sustain future astronauts on two-year journeys to Mars. Consider that one small step for man, one giant leap for future space-age taste buds. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.